Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. Been blessed so far, like the songs that we sang, Rick, this morning. Blessed Assurance was the first one. The other song that we sang during share time was 2:16. I'm going to read it. Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Those are powerful words. And, you know, if don't matter how many good things we've done or how we try to please God, at the end of the day, it's His grace that is there for us and will change our lives. This morning, I just want to share with y'all some of what I've been thinking about the last while, and it's basically, I don't really have a title, but it's about the gospel and you know what is it and how it affects me. And part of this is because of a kind of a journey that I have been on, and from looking around me at people around me, and especially in my family, and some of the things that we continue to deal with there, some of my brothers and sisters. And my questions are, why are there so many confused people, confused Christians, including myself at times? Why is what I see around me what God had in mind for me and for, you know, my family? And obviously it's not. You know, we live in a world that has been affected by sin, and there's none of us that have not been tainted by that. So this morning I just want to look at the gospel, and it may seem pretty basic, and I'm going to go over some pretty basic stuff, but yet life-changing stuff, powerful stuff for me, and I hope for you too. The gospel was designed and owned and authored by our Father God. In Galatians, there's curses put on anyone twice in about a four, from Galatians 1, 6 through 10. It says, if any man preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. It doesn't say it once, it says it twice in that time. So this is a big deal to God. It's something God crafted, God created. It is the news that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose eternally triumphant over all his enemies, so that now there is no condemnation to those that trust him. So, how do I receive this gospel? Well, number one, we must realize our lostness. I've heard it said the most terrifying truth in Scripture is that God is good and I am not. And if you think about that, if God is 100% good, that means that he must judge sin. He must judge anything that is not of him. He must punish sin. So in my lost state, there's nothing I can do to pay for that sin. And to connect me to God. My own righteousnesses or my good works. Is this thing too close to me? My own righteousnesses or good works are filthy. Like the Bible says. The things that I do to help me attain or feel closer to God, maybe, are filthy. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned. And Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous. None of us. So to find the answer for this problem, we're going to go to John 3. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But let's turn to John 3. And I'm going to read. Could I have a cup of water? Thanks. You didn't drink it? Arlen, I got one. He gave me his. Thanks, man. I'm just getting over a cough, and if I start coughing, I ain't going to stop. So, John 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou a master of Israel? Knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we got here a guy, Nicodemus, and I think it helps to know who Nicodemus was. He was a prestigious man. His name at the time was a name given to men of prestige. It means victor, or like victory, short, but victor. He was a ruler of the Jews, knowledgeable, powerful. He had risen to about the peak of what his religion, he followed his religion, and he had risen to about the peak of where he could go with it, and yet he still had questions. And that's a scary place to be, because if you've risen to the peak of what your religion has to offer and you still have questions, then obviously you're not finding the answers in your religion. So, and yet he seemed to doubt. He seemed to not be satisfied with where he was at. And Jesus identified his problem. Jesus says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. You cannot be, you cannot please me in and of yourself." There's a lot of stuff in here, but I'm not going to go over everything. In verses 3 through 5, he says, "You must be born again." And this blows Nicodemus's mind. How can this be? He's thinking in terms of flesh. He's thinking in terms of his physical. He says, "Am I going to enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus makes an analogy that Nicodemus will know, and that is Moses. When Moses raises up the snake, when everybody's been snake bitten and they're dying, Jesus says, you remember that analogy, just like Moses lifted up that snake, that's the way I'm going to be lifted up. And anyone who looks on me or believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus dying on the cross and Jesus being lifted up satisfied the payment for our sins. In Romans 5, it says, I'll just turn to it, Romans 5, 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And before that, in Romans 4, it talks about Abraham. It says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God." So, if in the same way, it's not by our works that we can find forgiveness for our sins and find that connection with God. It's because of our faith and believing in Jesus being lifted up on the cross as payment for our sin. When God looks at us now, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see, he sees his Son as the payment for our sin, and therefore we are justified. So, that's kind of a very simple overview of the gospel. And we've all heard it many times. But the problem seems to come in, for me anyway, that after I've experienced that, or we now we're saved, we've experienced the gospel. So now we're going to go be a Christian. We're going to move on and we're going to do this thing. And that's our mentality. It is for me. It was for me. So I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to be the best Christian that I know how to be. And then we face some stuff after that. And what we face is frustration, no joy, and besetting sin, no power. Some of us may face depression, no peace, broken relationships, loneliness. And you look back and you're like, wait a minute, like the Bible says there's this abundant life like that I'm supposed to have. John 9 and 10. I'm going to read it. John 10, 9 and 10. It says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. But that's not what we feel. Like, that's not what we experience sometimes. I've met some people that after they have made that first step, it just seems like there's no looking back. Boom, they're done. It's all seems like roses, you know. That was not my experience. And my experience was like what I just went over. And we're asking God why. We talked about in Sunday school asking God why. But then we start on our own journeys, some of us, maybe. We start asking God why. Why am I feeling this way? What is going on? And then we start looking for stuff. And again, this is based on my story. It might not be yours, but it's based on mine. We begin to look for someone to teach us how to reconnect with God. Maybe we look for somebody that's charismatic, that has they look the way a Christian should look. You know, you read Acts and the guys are all fired up, and that's we find somebody like that. And we say, hey, I'm going to follow this guy and be like him, and that's what a Christian is. So we try that. And we go to counselors. I'm not against counselors. I've talked to counselors that have helped me a lot. But the reality of it is sometimes we do go either from seminar to seminar or from counselor to counselor trying to figure out this problem in my life. What is wrong? Why am I not experiencing abundant life? Luke 1:74 says that I should be, that we are delivered from our enemies to serve him with no fear. So there's no fear. In Romans 8 it says there's no condemnation. So, like, these are realities, but why don't I feel any of this stuff? In Hebrews 2, it says he's destroyed Satan's power. He destroyed death. So this is what I have access to, but it's definitely not what I'm experiencing. And the passage that I'm going to read next is I guess what started all this for me. It's in Matthew 11. And Jesus is talking to, it's verses 28 through 30. But Jesus is talking to the Jews. And at the time, the Jews were under about 613 different commandments that they had to follow. They had a set of people, they had some guys set up that their sole job was to decipher how and what obeying these rules looks like in order to find, in order to please God. So they said there's probably about 613 rules, but if you go to the root of it, like there was probably about 300 rules, and there's like two for each one. So they had to have these guys to decipher all this stuff so that they can for sure please God or follow him. And Romans 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I used to look at that verse and think that's for the non-Christ, like the people who never trusted Christ. And it is. But I think the reality of it is, it's for me right now, too. And instead of looking at the gospel as something back there that happened in my life, that gospel is the source of strength today for each one of us. So he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he's saying, come and take my yoke upon you. Learn of me daily. Study my word. And what you're going to find is that I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. And as you find that, you're going to find rest in your souls. And again he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's like he's saying, I just want your faith that what I did on the cross for you is enough. Not your service and not how close to me you feel. Because that feeling can easily become the God that you and I serve. And it can lead to confusion. It'll become something that we pursue. I've seen this very up close and personal in my own life and in close friends and family, where the person is pursuing what he thinks is the voice of God. And that voice of God at the end of the day is a feeling that he has. And it is destroying his life. And Jesus says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come. I want you to rest. I want you to learn of me. And as you learn of me, you will begin to learn more of my characteristics, of who I am. And in that, you'll find rest. In that, you'll find power. You know, at the end of the day, the gospel is life-giving. It is life. It's God's story. It's God's. God has authored it. It is the only way for us to reconnect or to connect with God. And if today you are not, have never been a Christian, it is It is a simple process, but it's a process that'll cost you everything. To recognize your separation from God and recognize that it is only through the sacrifice that Christ did on the cross that we can find and we can reconnect and be pleasing to God. So this morning I don't have a lot more. I hope that made sense to y'all. It is a journey that I am on today, and change does happen in your life if you focus on the power that Christ has and in learning of Him, simply learning of Him. I don't know what it is. It's just something that He does in your life. I was having a conversation with my wife the other day, and I was referencing something, and she said, I had these areas in my life that I wanted to change in regards to my family. I wanted to be more connected with my children and have time for them and not bring my work home with me. So that's one of my problems, is I would always bring my work home with me. And I couldn't separate the stress at work from the stress at home. And so I come home and I sit there on the couch and I pull my phone out. And that's what I did. And for years, it was this the way I dealt with stress. Maybe watch a movie on my phone, or maybe, and the worse the stress was, the worse I would just zone out. This is one of the ways that I dealt with it. And, I don't know, this might've been a year ago. I was saying something to my wife. I was like, well, my partner and the guy I had been, I just get really honest here. The guy I'd been in business with in Texas was telling me, Hey, come back. Let's do something together. And, I was telling my wife about it, and she said, no. So she's not submissive all the time. No, that's good. And the next word she said, you're a different man now. And it wasn't necessarily something that I had set out to. I gotta change this in my life. I had tried it and it just wasn't changing. But it was something that God was changing in my life. As I looked at the cross and what Jesus did for me and pursued that, this area in my life started changing. And I'm not going to say I'm totally out of it. There's still some days I probably am on my phone too much. But it has changed. When I come home, I'm with my children. I still want to grow, still want to become better, but it has changed. And that's not my strength. That's the power of the gospel just working in my life. Not because I'm setting out to try to change this area in my life. It's because I want to take the yoke of Christ on me and learn of Him. And every day, if we can do that, we will experience the power of the gospel. It might not all be a big thing right away that we change and we're the perfect person right away. That's never going to happen. We live in a sinful world and we're broken people. But if we can find a place of rest, the only place that rest can be found is in learning of Christ and following him. That's all I got this morning. I hope it meant something to you. And just remember, whatever stage of life you're in, wherever you're at, if you're in the frustrated stage where you don't know what's going on, and the answer is very simple. It's in going back and studying who Jesus is. It's in going back and learning more of him and allowing that knowledge of him and who he is to just change your life. And it's real and it happens. And I think there's many people here who've experienced it.